Please pray with me. Illumine your word by your Holy Spirit, O God. Let your good news radiate from these pages. Let your epiphany grace break into our hearts and minds. Captivate all who hear these words, that we might believe and obey. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is Epiphany. Often the text for today is the gospel story of the Magi following the star and ending their journey to find the Savior, Jesus, in the manger. Another text for Epiphany is the text that we'll read today in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. Here Paul writes to the church in Ephesus about God's call for his life, Paul's Epiphany. Ephesians 3:1-12. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. As I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, but it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he had carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. If you read this text without knowing anything about the culture or the context, you'll lose the immensity of what Paul entered into when God called him to bring the Gentiles into the family. The use of the word adoption is often used here, and it's most appropriate. The Gentiles were always viewed, and indeed viewed themselves, as outsiders, outside God's family. They were not the people of Israel. Here, those who were not born into the family find a place that claims them as so. In Ephesus, choosing to follow Christ was choosing a life in direct contrast to the culture. Ephesus was active and vital, with all kinds of people, and it was diverse and cosmopolitan. There were Jews and Gentiles, Greeks and Romans, traders, artisans, merchants, all rubbing shoulders in this teeming port city, while at the same time it was a part of the Roman Empire, and as such was subject to the laws of Caesar, and not only the laws of Caesar, but also the laws of Torah for the Jewish members of the population. Paul's epiphany was not one that would make many shout for joy. God didn't send Paul to carry the message of Christ to his fellow Jews, people he knew intimately. With his Jewish brothers and sisters, Paul was able to speak the same language. He knew their traditions. When Paul moved beyond the Jewish community to evangelize those outside it, he sailed into uncharted waters. Paul went to the Gentiles, Greeks, and pagans, and as my Greek Orthodox professor liked to call those of us who were not Orthodox, the barbarians. Judaism had a fixed set of rules and traditions that Paul knew. But here, there were all kinds of pagans. The magical arts were so prolific that often magic books were referred to as Ephesian books. The most popular pagan shrine in antiquity, that of the goddess Artemis or Diana to the Romans was in Ephesus and was brought, and that brought droves of pilgrims. Ephesus was one of the three or four largest cities in the Roman Empire and possessed unbelievable wealth. It was also a center for scholars and intellectual investigation. Ephesus was had just about everything and everyone, just the place for Paul. This was Paul's epiphany. God revealed to him the unexpected mission of evangelizing to the Gentiles. This unexpected gift was in opposition to what his life had been before. Remember, he was a passionate Jewish persecutor of Christians. He was one of the best. And as a strict follower of Torah, he stayed away from Gentiles. They were the unclean. Here God calls him to be in intimate relationship with them, to call them brothers and sisters, to bring those who had always been outsiders into the fold. And Ephesus had them in abundance. How did Paul do this? He trusted that Christ had given him this mission, and he trusted that because Christ had called him, the Holy Spirit would be there to guide him. He also trusted that his other gifts would aid him in this mission. He could support himself as a tent maker, and this also was helpful because he supported many other people as well. He was fearless and passionate. All these attributes supported what he was doing. His knowledge of the Jewish faith allowed him to preach first in the synagogues before he moved out to the Gentiles, and his tenacious spirit was one of the greatest gifts for evangelism. He was more than willing to take on the mission for Christ. He dove into the areas that would be the hardest in which to evangelize, Corinth and here in Ephesus. Most of his gifts were present before conversion. He opened his heart to God, and the Holy Spirit led him, using the gifts that he already had, gifts he never suspected would be used for this purpose, but they were invaluable. God was with him all along, preparing him for this work long before he undertook it. And Paul viewed this as a gift. Isn't it astonishing how much Ephesus and our own culture parallel each other? The diversity of people, the belief systems, institutions, and governing bodies. There are over 20 different belief systems in the United States, and that doesn't take into account the different denominations or sects within those systems. We have national, states, and local governments and laws that come in just as many varieties. We hear in Scripture that we are called to that same mission. What might the epiphany that is waiting for you look like? Do we open our ears and hearts to accept God's gift, to care for all God's children, to offer them the good news of God's abundant love in Christ, to connect with them, not just those that look like us or believe what we believe, to let go of our need to control, to discover our epiphany? Where is God going to use your particular gifts? It's difficult to bring this radically different message out to a culture that is not open to receiving it, a culture that gives every indication that it doesn't want it or value the message. And so how do we present it? We approach it with the awe and wonder of the Magi, and it is, the most exciting mission of our lives. Paul's difficult task was to not only bring the message of Christ to the Gentiles, but also to fold them into the people of God. And that's what we are called to do as well, to invite them into the family, to accept God's radical hospitality. If we strive to fold others into the life of God and God's family, think of how it would change the world. We'd be able to let go of judgment and resentment, prejudices, of anger, all the things and feelings and emotions that keep us from each other and keep us from God. We would be free and open, and forgiveness would be our first move. We cannot carry this message out as if it's a burden, because that would be reflected in our attitudes. Who wants to join a burdensome task? We've seen the same over the past decades, that carrying our faith out as a burden only separates us. And Christ tells us that his burden is light, and the load is lightened when we share it. We carry it with the love of our neighbor that Christ commands of us. This really is a gift, this letting go and accepting the gift God has for us. We draw closer to each other while we draw closer to God. We live God with us as we proclaim the gift of grace we receive in Christ. So how do we do this ministry that Christ reveals to us? I think in the same way that Paul writes about to the Ephesians, we trust that God has called us, that God has called you. Most of us say, why would God use me? Why would God call me? I'm not good enough. I know this well because I used to think that way. I think we need to change that to, why not me? Why not me? We recognize our talents and abilities, and they will be our greatest assets in ministry. If God has called us, who are we to question God's decision? Be boundless and confident as a child of God, even when it is not the plan that you expected. I attended a performance of Beautiful, the Carole King musical, Friday night. In the opening scene, the actress who plays Carole turns to the audience and says something like, "This is not how I planned my life. It took a different path. It was surprising, but surprises can be beautiful." It struck me as a wonderful example of epiphany. If we hone our gifts, God will use them. The Holy Spirit will make known to us how we should use them. And we too will discover beautiful surprises. Can we join Christ in his ministry? Can we set aside our fear? Maybe not be as fearless as Paul, but be open to discovering our part in God's plan? Be open to knowing that God truly is with us. We can join Christ in his ministry with boldness and confidence because of Christ's faithfulness, not ours. We don't have to rely on our own. Christ has us, we are his, and he will always be faithful. This is what Paul understood and what gave him the confidence to tackle what God had placed on his life with enthusiasm. Embrace the mystery of knowing that Christ's faithfulness is limitless. At this time, I would like to invite the confirmation class to come forward. And Nancy and Tina to bring some baskets down. As we continue to be open to what God is doing here, we have an opportunity to discern where God is breaking into our lives in a simple but powerful way. Epiphanies and stars are only God's to give, but today we are passing out star words, not Star Wars, star words, for Epiphany. These stars are a gift, an opportunity for you to look and be open to where God is breaking into your life. Just as the wise men looked for God's breaking into the world by following the star and discovering Jesus. Just take a star. Don't look for a particular word. That's why they're turned upside down. The word will draw you. During my first year in seminary, I was introduced to this discipline of pondering where God was calling me through the Epiphany stars. And I invite you to consider how the word you pick might speak into your life this new year. Perhaps you could use it to lead your prayers this year. Perhaps you could hang it on your refrigerator or bathroom mirror where you would see it and remember to be prepared for the divine to be revealed to you wherever your journey may take you. Why would such a simple gift take on such deep meaning? What is it about receiving a word on a piece of paper that touches people? I think people are looking for tangible, clear signs of God's presence. We're good at being busy. The star word is an invitation to be still, in the presence of God and receive God's gift. We receive these gifts of stars before the offering because we offer our gifts in response to God's grace, which was offered to us first. On the name tag tables outside, you will find yellow slips of paper that have some suggested ways that you could use your star, as well as a prayer. And I look forward to hearing how God will be revealed to you this year. Let us pray. God, we acknowledge that you are not always ready to receive your best gifts for us. You have given us an epiphany word in order that we might be moved. It is often our habit to turn aside, stumble over, or even reject experiences and encounters that we later understand to have been precious gifts. Help us to open to the gift that you offer us now through these words. We acknowledge that we do not fully understand what this word might mean for our faith, but we receive it from you with gratitude and pray that your Spirit will enable us to live into our word with intentionality and faithfulness. So we will learn from Paul's letter, search like the Magi, find God's epiphany for you, remembering that God is with us and in us. Dive in and be fearless. Amen.